as good as I do tonight. Say that to the person next to you, okay? Very good, very good. It is a joy to be with you. It really is. But you got to understand that probably 85% of my preaching is to teenagers still. And so I get a little bit nervous, Pastor, when I get in front of all these old people, okay? So I just remind myself that you people are nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay, all right? But I want to be a blessing to you. And your kids, by the way, did great. The kids in school, they listened so very, very well. And what we're going to do tonight, I want to share something that's a real burden in my heart, okay? If I get the PowerPoint, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm pushing it to it. Here we go, okay? Here's a verse that most of us have seen, heard, maybe even memorized. Do you remember what it was like when you were 13? It's a little bit different now, isn't it? When you were 13, most of us, you didn't carry around this loaded weapon in your back pocket called a cell phone. But the kids do today. The word flee means to run, to be a fugitive from, to run so fast and so far it cannot find you. And our poor teens and kids are growing up in this world, including this little one right here. Okay? You're not bothering me at all, okay? These little ones, can you just imagine what they have to face? And when we're encouraged as kids, flee also youthful lusts. Run from those youthful, intense desires that just seem to captivate your mind. In other words, according to Ephesians 4, God tells us what to put off. And then he tells us what to put on. But follow righteousness, faith, love, or charity, peace. And I find that teens are very, very smart. They know what to put off and they know what to put on, okay? They know what's right, they know what's wrong. That's not the question. It's the why and the how. How can they continue to live a pure life? And the secret actually is at the end of the verse. Put off everything you know that is wicked. Put on everything that you know is good. How do you do that? With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what the kids in your school, the kids in your lives, your children, your grandchildren, you know what they need? They need a prayer partner that has already faced all these kinds of difficult temptations. They need somebody they can run to and say, will you pray with me? So I'm challenging you folks to be that person, okay? And it is a challenge. It really is. I'm going to pick on somebody here. Okay, what's your name again right here? Yes, maintenance. You help take care of the church. I know that. Alex, okay, do you guys have kids yet? Okay, not yet, all right, but someday you will. But what if, okay, I'm going to take, because you're here in the school a lot, so you see all the school kids. So, Alex, what if a seventh grade boy come running up to you in the hall, and I don't know if they call you Mr. Alex or whatever they call you, okay, or Pastor Alex, and they just said, hey, can I talk to you? And you said, sure, what? Could you teach me how to pray? If your grandchild called you Grandpa, how many of you are grandparents? Let me see your hands. Which of you grandparents have the most intelligent, best-looking grandkids? So if your grandparents, your grandkids came to you and said, Grandpa, Papa, Marmy, whatever they call you, could you teach me how to pray? Now, if we think about it, we say, well, yeah, of course, because we pray. Really? But if that question is given, it's not the first time. Because we read this in Scripture, Lord, teach us to pray. And you're right about trying to point it the right way. If I'm pushing the right button, I'm sorry. It came to pass as Jesus is praying, ready, in a certain place. Do your kids and grandkids know exactly where you are, say 6:30 every morning? Do they know that you're one of those dads or grandpas? It doesn't matter what time you go to bed. You get up in the morning and you spend time with God. In a certain place. Jesus had a certain place to pray. And when he ceased, when he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say teach us to preach. He didn't say teach us to counsel. He didn't say teach us to make a lot of money, teach us to be successful. He said teach us to pray. And when it comes down to the Christian life, And after reading hundreds of commentaries and studying and writing and what the pastors often do, you know what it boils down to? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Isn't that the truth? You know, pastors tell me all the time, say, Rand, if I just get my men to read, it changed their lives. And if we can consistently read our Bibles and pray every day, our lives would be changed. So, how not to pray, okay? Sorry, I'm not used to a coat. I'm a camp guy, okay? When you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. We could actually use the word the pretenders, okay? Because if you're hypocritical, that means you're not real. And teenagers, they can detect real very, very well. They know if we're real or not real. They know if mom and dad are one thing in church and they're a thing at home. Talking about how hypocrites pray. For they love praying standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, ready that they may be seen of men. That's one Greek word. It is the Greek word theaomais, from where we get our word theater. As one commentator said, it's an act to be watched, to be portrayed, but it's not real. It's a performance rather than what is genuinely in the heart of the actor. That they may be seen of men. Truly, verily, I say to you, they have the reward. What's the reward? They were seen of men, and then it's over. But thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Why the closet? Most bedroom slippers and jackets don't talk back to you, okay? If you have a secret place that you hide with God that doesn't have a cell phone in it, so you don't interrupt your conversation with God. It's a quiet place. It doesn't obviously have to be a closet. But I hope you have a set place that you meet with God that's quiet, that you remove all distractions, and you make it easy, very easy, to have unhindered and unhurried time with God. When you'll shut the door, why do you shut the door? Because there's babies crying, and Fox News is on, which, by the way, repeats every 11 minutes. You don't need to listen to it for 2 hours, okay? Pray to your Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as heathen or unbelievers do, that they think that they'll be heard for much speaking. You say, Rand, I would never do that. And most of us, when we consider, even think about vain repetition, we think of idolatrous worship, or even as some of us may have a background in Catholicism, because when I was a kid, my grandma was going to be a nun. She never made it, or I wouldn't be here, but she wanted to do that, okay? But when you're bad, you had to do Psalm 23 or say the Lord's Prayer. If you're really, really bad, you had to do it like 25 times, you know? Vainly, non-thinkingly, empty-headedly, repeating the same phrase over and over. It's technically what crazy people do. Do you ever use vain repetition when you're praying? Now, by the way, I'm your friend. I really am. But I'm here for your teens. Some of your teens, Grandpa, some of your teens, Dad, can lip sync to your prayers. Because you say the same thing every single time you talk to God. Especially when it's public prayer. And this is not fun to hear. It really, really isn't. But we do repeat. So if I ask somebody to stand up, would you listen to prayer? You know what I would probably hear 8 out of 10 times right now? Father, we thank you for this day. Should we be thankful for the day? Yes! Do we have to thank God for the day every single time we talk to him? No! Pastor, I'm thankful for the day. Are you thankful for the day? I'm really thankful. I was thankful for yesterday. I'll probably be thankful for tomorrow. Okay? No. We don't repeat, but it's a phrase we say while we're trying to think of something to say. It's an empty-headed, repetitive phrase that we say over and over. Or, as simple as, how do you close your prayers? In Jesus' name, amen? Or as the kids would do it at the Wilds, when I used to start the meals, I would never end a prayer for a meal in Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you why. because they're all standing, chairs, we're setting up, we say our camp verse, we pray. And I go, it's like Pavlov's dog. They pull the chairs out and sit down. I don't even have to finish. So I always do it this way. As we pray in the name of Jesus, is he done yet? Amen! I trick him every single time. So, obviously there are ways that we are told not to pray. But you know what Jesus did? He actually gave us his prayer list. And on this prayer list, he gave all the elements that should be in our prayer every time we meet with God to pray to him. And we can take the same prayer list that he used to teach these guys that ask, to teach those kids we love. Here it is. Jesus said, okay, you want to learn how to pray? Pray like this. Don't repeat exactly what I say, but pray like this. Would you say it out loud together with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Six simple truths that should be in every single prayer. Our Father. The power of personal possessive pronouns. And I do not do well with English. Not just the Father, but our Father. Okay? When you pray, who do you pray to? Now, I'm not always saying that it's wrong to say, dear Jesus, or pray to God. I know David prayed different ways. All I can do is tell you what Jesus did and what the Apostle Paul did. Every single time that they prayed to their Heavenly Father. Yeah. My Father. The one I run to, the one I love, the one I love to be with. My wife was adopted out of foster care. The day she was adopted, she had a daddy she could run to anytime she needed comfort. That's what we have. And sometimes when we approach our Father, for me it's different days. Sometimes it's my wonderful, loving, gracious Heavenly Father. And other times it's, oh, my forgiving, patient Heavenly Father. Stop. Take a breath. Think before you approach the presence of God. And remember who you are talking to. My wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, where is he? Who's in heaven? I'm talking to a real person. I'm not talking to just a non-entity about. I'm talking to God. Who's in heaven right now? And if, again, you slow down, take a breath, don't get in a hurry, my loving, wonderful Heavenly Father, I know you're real and you're listening to me. Remember who you're talking to. And here's a good way to do it. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. The name of God represents all his character and everything that he is. And again, what I'm about to say, please, I am not here to offend anybody. But I'm afraid that we have gotten so robotic and repetitive in our praying that we're not thinking. And what I'm about to say usually upsets somebody. And some of us take God's name in vain while we're praying. Yeah. I'm sure, Pastor, you've been like I have to many pastors' conferences. You go to a pastor's conference, and sometimes it's like they try to outpray each other. Matthew, good to see you, Matthew. Matthew, I was wondering, Matthew, if Matthew's having a good day, Matthew. Oh, this is Matthew's wife, right, Matthew? Okay, and I met Matthew's wife earlier, Matthew. Matthew, I really like Matthew's shirt, Matthew. But Matthew, Matthew should go back to preaching, Matthew. Okay, Matthew? Lord, we pray, Father, to God. One of our staff prayed for lunch one day. The next day I said, hey, pray for lunch. He goes, I did yesterday. Go, I'm busy. Why? I had a card and a pen, and I put a slash mark. In one lunch prayer in the dining hall, that staff member said, Lord, 41 times. Lord, we pray, Lord, that, Lord, it's a repetitive, robotic phrase that we just get this done and over with rather than stop, take a breath, and realize we're talking to God. Even the fact that I said, Matthew, I really like Matthew's shirt. Would I say that to you? No. If I'm talking about you, I'll say, man, I really like Matthew's shirt. But not if I'm talking to you. What would I say? I really like your shirt. What I have in my hand is the precious Word of God. He breathed it for us. And when I'm talking to you guys, like I say, oh, the Word of God is precious. How wonderful is the Word of God? Not when I'm talking to God. Father, thank you for the Word of God. No. Now I'm talking to you about God. Father, thank you for your Word. Do you see the difference? If when we pray and teach the people we love to pray, we help them understand who they're talking to, that he's real, that we're really talking to him, and we treat his name in a wonderful, wonderful, holy way. Have any of you been to the wilds in North Carolina? Anybody here? Okay, oh, many of you have. They have this thing called a giant swing. Have you been on that giant? Okay, there's some hands. If you remember, we would take, Pastor, we'd take you and your wife and put you in two hang gliding harnesses. It'd really be fun, okay? And then I'd push a button and you go up as high as this room, a little bit higher, at which time it has an automatic release and you drop about 15, 20 feet free fall, as close to bungee jumping as most of us will ever get. And then you drop and you swing and go weightless again, near sight and back and forth. Wouldn't you love to ride that? She says no, okay? Yes, no? How many of you would love to ride it? How many say you would never get me on that thing, okay? The reason people don't ride is because they're afraid of being embarrassed because you're swinging back and forth, kind of get sick, you know? And that's the cool thing about this ride. We've measured it. When you drop and you're going through the air, you're going 41 miles per hour. And the centrifugal force is so amazing. If you ever did throw up, you would swallow it and nobody would ever know. So you would not get embarrassed. But often, as much fun as it is, I probably shouldn't tell you this. If I have two girls or ladies and they're really scared, I push it, and when they get about this far from the top, I take my thumb off the button, and they jerk stop. They don't come down. And I start beating on it like it's broke, and then I push the slow button. They come all the way back down. Now they're really screaming, what's wrong? I forgot to tell you. Have a good ride, and I take them up again, okay? But the thing I don't like about it, it is scary, and I mean, my face is this close to their face, and when you push that button, it jerks you a little bit, and it doesn't matter if it's teens or adults. So many times you push the button and they're startled and I hear three words. The first one is oh, the second one is my, and the third one is God. Now, I don't want to embarrass them, and nobody else can hear me because we're this close, and I always take my thumb and say, hey, be careful. You're taking my Lord's name in vain. And you know what they say every single time? Oh, I'm sorry, Rand. I wasn't thinking exactly. When we stop thinking and we become robots when we pray and we just rapidly say all these phrases that we think sound good and spiritual, we're not thinking. And that's why we fall into the trap of talking about God instead of to God and repeating his name. Thy kingdom come. Do you pray that the Lord returns? I do all the time. I've been accused for setting dates. I don't set dates. Nope. I know he's coming back this fall, but I don't set dates. You say, you shouldn't say that. He's coming back on Rosh Hashanah. It's the feast of the temple, or the trumpets, excuse me. It's the last feast. You can't set dates. No man knows the day or the hour. It's a two-day feast. I don't know the day or the hour. I just know he's coming back. Okay, now I'm kidding. I would love for him to come back then. I'd love for him to come back tonight. You say, Rand, what do you... And my wife said, what happens if you're away preaching and the Lord comes back? Heaven's a big place. Well, we decided there's horses in heaven. We know there's at least a white horse. The righteous man regards the life of his beast, so I'm sure that God has real nice horse stables for the white horses. So Amber and I are meeting at the white horse stable when we get to heaven. So if any of you get there and you don't know anybody, come on over to the white horse stable. We'll meet, okay? Are you eager for the Lord to return today? I'm serious. And it's not just looking for a rescue. We live in such a yucky world. I hurt for the kids. I hurt for us. I would love for the Lord to come back. And all the wickedness, I don't get mad. I probably should get madder. I pity those who are so addicted to their drugs and their porn, and this just destroys their families. I so look forward to the new world. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Won't that be cool? Lord, please keep me today, right now, in your perfect will. And if that will is to share Christ with somebody, invite them to church. If that will is to go and clean the gutters out or wash the windows for one of the elderly widows in our church. Whatever your will is, if that is just to hang with my kids and love them to the Lord, I want to do that today. Please, Lord, help me to do your will today. Give us this day our daily bread. What is that all about? It's a picture of the Old Testament. Children of Israel wandered for how many years? Tell me. 40 years. They got hungry, didn't they? So what did God send them in the morning? Manna. And manna literally means, what is it? And they had to obey God and get up early enough to go get it before the sun came out. And it was like the dew on the grass and all that. And people think, what did it taste like? Have you ever studied manna? The Bible tells us what it tastes like. In one place it says it's sweet as honey. Another place it says it tastes like fresh oil. The only thing I know that tastes like fresh oil, sweet as honey, is a Boston cream donut. So they went and got their donuts every single morning, okay? And then God sent something at night because they started complaining. What did God send at night? Say it louder. Quail. I mean, I don't know if they just reached up and grabbed it. I really don't know. But quail at night, man in the morning? I mean, chicken and biscuits every day, and they still got upset. There's something else, because when they're out in that desert, I would assume it got really hot. What do you think? So what did God put over them during the day? It was what? Cloud. Shade. And then what did God send at night? Pillar of fire, cloud of fire. Two things. One, I travel. I wake up in the middle of the night. I have no idea what room I'm in. I don't know where the bathroom is. It's nice to have a little bit of a nightlight, okay? And I understand it gets a little chilly in desert land. So you got the heat and you got the light. What am I saying? For these people to recognize their dependence daily on God. Watch me. This is all they had to do. This is it. Just look up. When the Bible talks about praying, give us this day our daily bread, this is revealing a God dependence that very few of us live with anymore, because we have bank accounts and we have pantries and we have refrigerators and freezers. And we are so self-dependent physically. We can get by a long time without God, can't we? Spiritually, no. I guarantee you, every single one of us have gone to sleep crying because of some loved one who is far, far from God. Do you cry out in total dependence, God? Oh, I need you to please work in their life. And how do you pray? For some of you older ones, for children who are far from God. It tears you up every day, doesn't it? It hurts in our hearts. And if you're like a normal person, you probably blame yourself every time. When you pray, as I have prayed for people that I love that are not walking with God, and I would say, Lord, please, please bring them back to yourself. Amen. I doubt. I don't know about you. I'm just saying what Rand does. I will pray, but then you think, well, this individual, there's no way, there's no hope. And you pray, and you still doubt. And then about 3 years ago, I got this simple, simple, simple concept. We enter into his gates with what? Into his courts with what? Praise. And I taught our staff at the Wilds in New England. We went up there. We were totally separate from the other Wilds financially. I said, guys, we're not going to ask God for money one time, ever. We're not going to do that. Here's what we do. We thank God ahead of time for supplying what we need when we need it. Proverbs 30. Lord, give me just enough. You give me too much, If I had $10 million in the bank, I'll forget about you and stop praying. You give me too little, I'm driving a school bus so I can run a camp for those kids. Both ways, I'm depending on me and not on God. So you thank God ahead of time. Those of us who are grandparents, how do you pray for grandkids? Father, thank you. Thank you for saving and bringing my grandkids to yourself. I know you want them. You're not willing that any should perish, and I know I want them. And you said we're two or three gathered together. There's four of us just between us, and I know a few more. So thank you, Lord. Thank you ahead of time for bringing them back to you. When I pray thanking God ahead of time, the entire object of my faith is now on God, not on Ren, how fervent and how frequent I pray. And then you can say amen with a smile on your heart that God will take care of you. Yeah. God dependence. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hey, is there anyone on this earth that you refuse to forgive? It's a tough question. I don't know any of your past. Some of you could be in a second or third marriage, and the first one was just, never. Some of you have a background in life, like I had recently, a couple come up to me in their mid, late 60s, weeping. I said, how can I help you? And she said, I can't forgive my father. He abused me for years. I said, can you go to him? She said, I can't. He's dead. I said, well, let me ask you this. True forgiveness means I won't bring it up to you, myself, or anyone else again. Do you ever share your story with other people so they pity you and kind of hate your dad? She said, all the time. I said, then you have not forgiven him. You, Romans 12, release him to God. If we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. If there's anyone on this earth that you refuse to forgive, you can pray until you're blue in the face, and God says he's not going to listen. Wow. This is just Bible, folks. So when we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive others, is it easy to forgive others? No. How do you do that? In my world, for 45 years at the Wilds and the counseling we have to do, and being in a world of mandatory reporting and all that, it makes it a very difficult job at times. And I've sat with teenagers who have been abused in every single way you can even begin to imagine. And what do you do if you're sitting there, and I always have one, or most of the time now, two other counselors with me. What do you do when you have a 15-year-old girl who's been abused by a grandfather, we'll say, for 2 years? And she's supposed to forgive and what? Forget? That's what I thought the Bible used to say. And I lived my whole life, because I come from an incredibly abusive world, was raised by my grandparents, and he was an alcoholic. I couldn't forget. There's stuff those kids will never, ever forget. How many of you are Christians? You know you're saved. Can I see your hands, please? Okay, put them down. I'm going to trick you. How many of you, when you got saved, God, did you, or let me ask it this way. When you got saved, did God forget your sin, yes or no? Did he? Let's talk a little theology. Is God omniscient? Does he know everything in the past and the future and the present? Yes. Is he immutable? That means he's unchanging. He's immutable in his love. He doesn't love us more when we're really, really good, or less when we're really, really bad. He just loves us. He's immutable in his knowledge. He never increases or decreases in knowledge. You say, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say? This is where it gets confusing. I will separate your iniquity as far as the east is from the west. Ready? And I will bring them to my thoughts no more. He doesn't forget. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is a promise. God says, I'll never bring anything up to you again. Ever. Because his mercies are everlasting. Psalm 100. You ever get afraid you get to heaven after about 100 years, the Lord comes and says, I know what you did now. No. He promises never, ever, ever to bring it back up to us again. Forgiveness is a promise. You say, but Rand, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said. You don't know how hard it is. What you do is you take those terrible, terrible, yucky feelings of the past of being hurt or sinned against, and you replace the anger and the bitterness with pity. I call it pity is disappointment wrapped in love. Okay? And how many times I've sat with kids and said, listen, if your daddy would have known Jesus and had a good church like this to come to and have Christian friends, if your daddy would have walked with God, he would have never, ever, ever wanted to do that to you. And we have to pity him. He's so addicted to the drugs or the alcohol or the porn that it just drove him. And we learn to have this disappointment wrapped in love. You can't pity and hate at the same time. Forgiveness. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Or sometimes you could look at deliver us from the evil one. Do you have a good morning prayer? Any kid that's ever been to the wilds has heard me say what I'm about to say, okay? Start out your morning with a good morning prayer, even before you get out of bed. The minute you wake up, good morning, Lord. I need your help today. Lord, oh, I already got my grumpy pants on. I haven't even got out of bed. I'm tired. I got a lot of stress. Lord, I promise you, I promise if the temptations are too big, I'm going to give in because I'm a mess. It's going to be a hard day. And you promised me, Lord, that there's no temptation that takes me but such as is normal, common to men. But you will not allow me to be tempted above which I'm able. So I'm claiming that promise, God. Help me. I need you today. And you have this good morning prayer that you're totally dependent on God to keep the temptations away because you know how weak you are that day. This is being honest with yourself and honest with God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You just brag a little bit on your God as you're done. And I know we don't talk like this today, and our kids certainly don't. So how do we do this? How about this? My loving Heavenly Father, please keep me in your will. Help me to depend on you today. Forgive me, and please help me to forgive others. Lord, please keep me from sin. I don't want to sin. And thank you for being such a wonderful, powerful God. Would you say this together with me out loud? Ready? My loving Heavenly Father, please keep me in your will. Help me to depend on you today. Forgive me and help me to forgive others. Please keep me from sin. Thank you for being such a wonderful, powerful God. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. And he did. And he wrote it down for each one. I'm telling you, folks, here's what's going to happen. You learn to pray like this, and you can almost hear your kids, your grandkids talking in another room later. Hey, did you hear when Grandpa prays? When he prays, it's like he's almost really talking to God. Duh. It's not why you do it. I promise you, if you take a breath, slow down, think tomorrow morning before you go to pray, you take this simple, simple truth and let these elements be in your prayer. Our kids often imitate or emulate exactly what we do. So, Dad, don't let them lip sync to your prayer. Let them desire to talk to God like their daddy talks to God. Mom, don't get in a hurry. And just go on and on without thinking real fast. Slow down, take a breath, and talk to God. I assume there's teachers here. There's a school somewhere around here called Marquette Manor Baptist School Academy, whatever. And when you stand in front of the classroom and pray, that doesn't mean you stop teaching at that point. They can learn how to pray by listening to you guys pray. You got a great bunch of kids that come to this school. Could you imagine if when they graduated and they're up here giving their testimonies, and they would just say, well, I learned a lot here at school, but oh, I learned how to talk to God. I learned how to pray. We want our kids to flee youthful lust and follow what is right. And they can do it when they can team up with somebody who can talk to God out of a pure heart. And every single one of us can be that person, okay? All right. Can I pray for you guys? Let's pray. Father, we do not deserve the privilege to even come to you with thanksgiving. But I thank you for what you've done for us. Father, even convicting us and drawing us to yourself so that we understand that we can be your child and be able to call you, Father, is wonderful. And I do pray that you'll help us in such a way that we'll be totally dependent on you, that we'll respect your name and everything that it stands for. Please, help us to follow your perfect will in the way that we pray. Help us to be willing to teach the ones that we love how to pray. Keep us from sin, Lord. Oh. We know that it's sin that keeps us from talking to you, the embarrassment of it, but thank you that you're such a forgiving, wonderful, loving Father when we do come to you. We beg of you, Father. May we be the examples for the kids that we love, that they can learn how to seriously and honestly, genuinely talk to you. And may you allow us to teach them how to do this. Thank you for what you've done and given to us in this simple little passage as we pray in the wonderful, blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor?
So, folks, rather than doing the normal way that we break up in prayer tonight, but we have a few minutes here. And let me just ask you to do this. Just maybe take the person or the two people sitting next to you. If you're sitting alone in a pew, just sort of slide next to somebody else. And let's each of us just go to the Lord with the thoughts that have been put before us tonight. Just take the opportunity here to be particularly thoughtful about that and to kind of emulate, practice what Rand has put before us tonight and maybe just have a good opportunity to break free of our habits and our easy expressions, whatever those things are. And so just while these things are fresh in our minds, let's And I'm not saying we're doing this just to kind of do it. Talk to God. But allow the things that we've been challenged about tonight to just maybe kind of affect how we go to the Lord this evening. We won't take time to go through all the various prayer requests, but maybe just if each person would take a few minutes and pray with that in mind, and whatever the particular things maybe the Lord has put on your heart. But just a little different way of going about this tonight that I think would be helpful for us. It's taken a first step towards putting into practice in our prayer lives that which has been given to us here this evening. So let me have you just go ahead and do that.